your Bibles, please turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5. Isaiah, chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard, that I have not done it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes, and now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. And let's finish with verse 7. Ready? For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for what you've done for us. This morning the altars were full and people being saved, and the baptismal waters were moved, and the Holy Spirit moved upon this place. Now, Father, please, this morning's blessings were wonderful, but we're a needy people, a sinful people, and we need you. Holy Spirit, please do that which you cannot do. Work in every heart tonight, please. Use our preacher in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Tonight I preach a sermon that I've entitled, Rain, No Rain. There's a song that is very popular. We sing it here in our church. It's found in our hymnal. It's written by Daniel Whittle. The words, anyway. James McGranahan wrote the music. It is the song, There Shall Be Showers of Blessings. Now, that song was written because of the verse found in Ezekiel 34:26. Where it says, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessings. The song goes, there shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Oh, what a wonderful song. We've sung it over and over again. It's a song, though, that not only should we sing, but we should live and we should strive for the truth that's found within the song. Here in the book of Isaiah, as Brother Bush read with us earlier, we go to the key verse that I'll use tonight. It's found in verse number 6. I'll read it to you again. It says, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. God said, it will rain no rain. This vineyard, on it, there will rain no rain. Now, God is describing a man's vineyard here in Isaiah chapter 5. He tells us that this vineyard at one time was rich and productive, fruitful. It is called, quote, a very fruitful hill. Verse number 2 tells us that they did some things to help this vineyard to be productive or fruitful. They had fenced it. They had gathered the stones. They had planted certain kinds of vines in the vineyard. But it says, instead of bringing forth sweet grapes, it brought forth wild, sour grapes. So the vineyard did not produce the kind of fruit that God wanted it to produce. In verse number 5, it says, "And now go to, I will tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I'll take away the hedge thereof." That's a protection. "It shall be eaten up and break down the walls thereof, and it shall be trodden down." So for whatever reason, God is saying, this vineyard's not bringing forth fruit. And I'm not going to waste my rain on this vineyard. Now, God is comparing this vineyard to a Christian's life. Vineyards are to bring forth fruit. Our lives are to bring forth fruit. Vineyards are to be productive. Our lives are to be spiritually productive. Vineyards are to bloom with success. Our lives are to spiritually bloom and add sweet aroma to those around us and to the rest of the brethren and those that live in the vineyard of the church. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 7, again it says, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." God is saying, you and I, this church, we are the vineyard of God. We are His vineyard. We are the trees that are to bear fruit. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." But for some reason, we see something here. God said, this vineyard here, I'm not going to rain on it. It'll rain no rain on this vineyard. Hey, listen, you and I both know rain is essential for growth. Now, I like the rain. I like a rainy day. I like what the rain is going to do for the grass and what it's going to do for the flowers and what it's going to do for the vineyards. I like what the grass is going to do for the farmers. You see, if God withholds rain for any length of time, it could destroy the productivity of a vineyard. Hey, is there productivity for God in the vineyard of your life? Is it a waste for God to rain rain on your life? Do you really want to bloom? Do you really want to be productive for God? Do you really want to produce fruit? Do you really want to bloom and spread the aroma of the sweet spirit of a Christian to the others around you? But wait, is it raining no rain in your vineyard? Is it raining no rain in your Christian life? Are your spiritual lips parched, dry, and cracking due to the spiritual rain that is absent in your life? Do you sing the song, "There are no showers of blessings"? Are you spiritually dehydrated? Is your skin dry and burnt from the lack of rain in your life? Do you have spiritual cotton mouth? Is there a lack of rain in your life? You are a vineyard. Your vineyard needs the blessing of God. But do you say, "Brother Owens, there's a lack of blessing of God in my life. I really don't see much happen for the cause of Christ in my service to Him. I really am not fruitful. I'm really not seeing anything happen. I don't think anybody takes a deep breath and smells the aroma of the bloom, of the blessing, because of the petals that have grown on the flower of my life due to the rain and the refreshment from God and my walk with God." Hey, is your vineyard fruitful? Are you just... I was driving down Arden Novel Road the other day, and all sorts of orchards out in there. Every once in a while, I watch them take a bulldozer and bulldoze down a tree. You always know what kind of trees they are. They're the trees that are old, dry, dead, fruitless. And there are trees like that all over the place in vineyards. I mean, every once in a while, you'll see a tree. It's just there. Bears no fruit. It's just there. Other fruit trees around, but that tree, it's merely there. Let me ask you a question. In the vineyard of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church of Martinsburg, West Virginia, are you just an old dry tree standing in the corner, bringing forth no fruit? Nobody's affected by the aroma of the bloom or the blossom that your life brings forth. Nobody's encouraged by the beauty that the refreshment of God's hand upon your life could bring forth, because there is no refreshment in your life. You're just a tree. Now, you're planted in the church, for which we're grateful, but you're just an old dry tree. Not interested in bringing forth fruit. Not interested in lightening the load of another. Has God withheld rain on you because that rain is put to no good use in your life? What does it mean? Rain. No rain. What does it mean? Well, it might mean that preachers preach but without power. If a preacher in his life, if he's experiencing the raining of no rain, there are empty altar calls. No movement of God. No movement of God in his life. No tears at the altar. No saints convicted. No sin and lives convicted because of sin and their lives changing. If there's no rain of rain in a teacher's life, what would happen? No power as they teach. Like they're teaching for no reason. Like they teach just to get it over with, get past the lesson and get on. Let's just get this over with and be done with it. Because there's no rain in their life. Rain, no rain, what does it mean? People hear the Bible or read the Bible, but they don't apply it to their lives. Just like reading anything else. The word is preached, but it's dry to them. Others are refreshed, but not you. You're in a spiritual drought. Maybe rain, no rain. We see prayer, but it's formal. Merely ritualistic. Fruitless. No answers. No spiritual connection with God. No visual movement of God to answer those prayers. Rain. No rain. Say, Brother Owens, my spirituality is parched. It's dry. I feel like I'm a desert. It's so dry. Is there rain? Is there no rain in your life? Secondly, what are the results of when it rains, no rain? Well, the result of no rain spiritually is this. You see, there's no winning of souls. The winning of souls comes from the dew of the Holy Spirit, the moisture of the Holy Spirit's involvement. But when there's no rain in a life, there's nobody influenced for heaven in that life. No salvation in one's preaching. No salvation in one's teaching. No salvation in one's soul winning. Hey, on your bus, nobody's getting saved. In your Sunday school class, nobody gets saved. In your ministry, nobody gets saved. In your life, nobody gets saved. Hey, in your church, somebody gets saved. But it's not because of you. It's because of the other trees in the vineyard. It's because of the fruitful trees in the vineyard. It's because of the trees that are absorbing the moisture and the rain of the power of God, and because of it, they're blooming and producing and making something happen. But is there no rain in your life? Nobody influenced for heaven? Nobody getting saved? You know what you are? Just an old tree planted down at the church. No green leaves, no flowers, no brooms, no apples, no grapes. You're planted. It's an old, dried up, parched tree in the vineyard. Rain. No rain. What are the results of no rain? No backsliders returning to God because there's no rain. You know, withered plants are not restored unless there's rain. But because there's no rain in your life, there's no moisture of God, there's no dew of the breath of God upon your life because of it, there's no backsliders coming back to God because of you. When was the last time you influenced a backslider to get right with God? When was the last time you said to somebody who's backslidden, hey, we love you, come on back to the church? When was the last time you got around somebody that's backslidden and you nudged them back toward God? Or you say, I'm just an old dried up tree in the vineyard. I'm planted here. Well, God didn't plant you here just to be an old dried up tree. He planted you here to be fruitful. Rain. No rain, God said. In the vineyard, it seems like there is not raining any rain on certain trees. There's no refreshment of the weary because of the rain. Nobody getting a new confidence to try again. Look, folks, you and I, if you come to this church, you are constantly encouraged to try again and told you can do it, you can make it, you can take it. What do you do with that? All you do is absorb that moisture into your life. Is that all you do? Well, it wasn't given to you just for you. You are supposed to take that out and get a spirit about you and go around telling everybody, hey, you can do it. But you know all you do is you just suck it up because your life's all about you. You're so consumed with you making it, you don't have time to help somebody else make it. Rain, no rain. No backslidden people brought back to God. Hey, no refreshment that's needed for the people of God. No refreshing of the weary around you. Nobody getting a new confidence they can try again. Nobody leaving your Sunday school class spiritually refreshed and recharged. Rain. No comfort for the grieving. Hey, we ought to be comforting one another. Did you know that the preacher's not the only person that could comfort those that grieve in our church because of the loss of a loved one? Why couldn't you? I mean, have you not learned how to comfort? Have you not learned how to help those that hurt? Why, indeed you have. Yeah, you're just an old dried up tree. You're planted. But it seems like there's not the moisture of the blessing of God in your life. People grieve and are depressed and could use your help. But you have no interest. Why? God said, why waste my rain on them? They don't want to bloom. They don't want to blossom. They don't want to do anything. They're just so consumed with themselves. And so because of it, the grieving think more of death than they do heaven. And so you know, it's okay to miss someone that you love. But if I were you, I'd be thinking about heaven a whole lot more than I'd be thinking about the death of the one that went to heaven. No strengthening of the weak. Why? Because. No rain. Hey, when was the last time a new Christian in this church became stronger because of you? You thought everybody else was going to take care of it. Are the weak strengthened because of your testimony? You know, all of these things require the dew of God. All of these things require the rain from God. There's a lack of a spiritual attitude among God's people where they become self-centered and concerned about me, 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 me. Listen, folks, we need to get the rain of God upon our life so we are refreshing to others. To others. Get your eyes off yourself. It's kind of a lukewarm problem. Revelation 3:16 says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. God's talking about Christians. They're not on fire for God. But wait, they're not totally out of God's will. They're just lukewarm. And that's where so many of us are. We're planted down at the church. But there's no refreshment of the rain of the breath of God upon us. I said to you this. I said, I told you what rain, no rain means. I said, these are the results of when we find rain, it not raining rain in our life. Then thirdly, what's the attitude? What attitude do we develop in our lives when we find this drought where there's no rain, no productivity? What's the attitude? Well, if you find yourself finding the presentation of the gospel as a bother to you. So what do you mean? Oh, you're tired of us coming to the altar call time and talking about people getting saved. The altar call time comes and your first thought is, all right, we're about out of here. People are about to be born again and you can't wait to hit the parking lot. Because you and I have no concern about the souls of men. The primary purpose for you, the big thing for you is already cared for. You're saved. You're saved. Let's get out of here. Let's not stay for the altar call. Let's not stay to watch somebody get saved. Let's not stay to watch the grace of God rain down on a sinful soul that was on their way to hell before they came to church. We're not interested in that. The altar call is a bother. Here we go again. He's going to read the names of some children that got saved. That's what happens. That's what happens when the drought comes into the life. That's what happens when our stinginess has dried up all the rain of the knowledge of the blessing of God. We begin to get brittle. We're parched. We have spiritual cottonmouth. We have no interest in the saving of souls. Then you become a critic of those who are experiencing rain. Somebody else has rain in their life. Somebody else, hey, some other bus captain's all excited about having all sorts of people saved on their route. And you think, oh, shoot. You used to be excited about it, but not anymore. They're just fake. They're exaggerating. the showers of blessing in their life. They're just making it into something bigger than what it really is. What's the attitude of those who experience no rain? Well, the gospel presentation means nothing much to them. They become critical of those that are actually experiencing the rain. You sit in the rain, but you pull out your umbrella and won't let a bit of it on you. Folks, there's rain available at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. There's the moisture of God in this place. There's the refreshing of the Holy Spirit of God available in this place and in abundance. And I don't care how deep you are and how far away from the rain you are. There's enough water in this place to refresh your life. And if you're having a hard time getting energized around here, you're not going to find any place that's going to energize you much more. If you can't get it here, you ought to be very, very careful wandering away from here. Because, hey, we have floods of blessing in this place. We have floods of salvation in this place. We have floods of the blessing of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you sit there and you're still dry and dumb and uninterested, you better be careful ever wandering away. You're by the river of living water. Be careful now. There's rain in this place. There's rain in this place. Oh, but you know what we do? The rain's coming down. The rain's coming down on the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. The rain's coming down on this place. You pop out your umbrella. I'm not changing. Well, stay right where I am. I'm not getting involved. I'm not going out in the rain. Others are soaking and basking in the blessing of God. Others are energized. Others are saying, wow, I've never seen it like this. Wow, every service, every Sunday, the altar is full. The baptistry, the waters are troubled. People getting saved, lives being changed. Oh, this is great. And you sit there, oh well. Oh well. What a bother. Parking lot's full. Can't find his feet. No wonder there's no rain in your life. No wonder. Stop and realize, as I spoke today of Jonah, how ridiculous. Jonah preached a revival. Then a revival broke out. Next thing you know, he's backslid enough, he regretted it. Because revival cost him his seat in the church. Revival made him walk an extra 20 paces in the parking lot because he got pushed to the Outer Banks. He had to wait in line at the bathroom. He used to have his own stall. You want revival? You got it. Now you don't want it anymore? There's a price to pay. You're supposed to get involved. You have a preacher to expect you to obey your God and do something for Him. Well, preacher, I wanted a revival, but I didn't want me to have to be a part of it. I wanted you to do it. I wanted you to bring some people here to make it happen. I just wanted to watch. Now I'm uncomfortable with it. Is there rain in your life? What causes God not to rain the rain? Well, sometimes there's the preventing of the rain by the dry people in the vineyard. Parched souls. Spiritual deserts. They twist what the preacher says, always looking for a reason to be offended or to challenge the preaching or to correct it. Instead of using the preaching and the Word of God to encourage others, they look for ways to discourage others with the preaching. Cause contentions. Hey, you could cause others to question. You could cause others to not be interested. Hey, you never personally need the altar. That's just for the riffraff and the lowlife. That's for the young people. Is there rain in your life? Be honest. Is there rain in your life? Are others being refreshed by you? Or do the rest of us use up our rain trying to keep you refreshed? The attitude of those who have no rain The altar calls and the gospel presentation becomes old to them. They're not interested anymore. They critique and criticize those that experience rain. They set in the midst of a shower of blessing but pull out their umbrella and say, I don't want to be a part. The perverting of the rain that comes through the preaching of the gospel and the preventing of the rain. So, you say, Brother Owens, what in the world do I do to get the rain of God in my life? How do I get that shower of blessing that causes me to green up, to become productive, to make my spirit moldable and fresh? What do I do to keep myself from being brittle, but yet to become tender again? Like the grass that's brown over the winter and suddenly the rain of the spring comes and suddenly it gets green and suddenly it begins to grow and suddenly the grass becomes productive and it begins to spread. How can I become like the fresh grass of the spring? How do I do that spiritually? What can I do to get the rain in my life? Well, let me tell you some things. First of all, confess whatever sin that has caused you to be like a desert. Whatever's dried up your spirituality, confess it. Get rid of it. You know, most of you know what sin is in your life that's keeping you from doing something for God. You already know. I don't have to pick your sin. Holy Spirit of God can take care of it right now. Why aren't you doing something for God? What's stopping you? All right. Take care of it. Get it out of your life. Forsake it. Walk the aisle. Give it up. Stop it. Fight it. Declare war on it. That's what you do. You say, Brother Owens, I'm not seeing the refreshing rain of God in my life. And I don't know why. I'll tell you what you do then. Come down here tonight and ask God why.
Amen.
Ask every day, why do I not see refreshing productivity in my life, God? And I guess He's going to tell you.
Yes.
Or would you rather not ask? Hey, you know, you have not because you ask not. God will tell you. Most of us already know. But if you don't know, sincerely come down here and start asking God, God, why? Well, you show me, God, what is it that's keeping me from being refreshing? What is it that's keeping me from absorbing the rain of the blessing of God so I'm fruitful? Why? Why do we not have rain? And what can we do about it? Well, confess whatever sin it is that's stopping it. Secondly, admit that you must have the rain of God in your life. Admit it. Some of you need to admit you're dry. You're dry. You're just like a tree. Planted, yes. Planted, yes. Thank God for you. But no green leaves. No blooms. No refreshing smell. No productivity. No fruit. Admit it. Somebody here tonight, you need to admit you're in a spiritual drought. You just show up at the vineyard. That's all you do. Show up at the vineyard. Come in here. Plunk yourself down. Absorb all the rain that I shove your way and then do nothing with it. Admit your life is a desert. Dry, parched, and unproductive. Because until you admit it, you're probably not going to fix whatever the problem is. Thirdly, you want rain? Anybody here really want God's blessing? Anybody here really want God to use you? All right. Pray until it rains. Pray. Pray until it rains. Pray until it rains, bus captain. Pray until it rains, Sunday school teacher. Pray until it rains, mom. Pray until it rains, dad. Pray until it rains, deacons of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Pray until it rains, those of you that participate in the special music. Hey, teacher, you want rain in your class at Martinsburg Christian Academy? Fall on your face and pray until you get the rain. Pray until the showers of blessing overwhelm you. Or do you want it that bad?
Good.
Pray. 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 Oh God, please. Make me productive. Oh God, please. Make me productive. Oh God, please. Please, please. Every day, day in and day out, all day long, say, God, please. I want to be used. 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 And let me tell you something. Once He starts using you, don't shut off the spigot. Pray. Pray until it rains. Beg for rain in your life. Convince God you won't stop begging until He starts the raining. Wear Him out. I want it, Lord. I want it. 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 I want it, God. I want to be used. 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 I want to be used, God. Now, God, I won't hear of it. I have it no other way. It's God, I want to be used. 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 Oh, God, please use me. Use me. Use me. Use me. Please. Oh, God, pick me. Pick me. Pick me. Use me. Use me. You want to be used? Pray. You want to be used? Just keep plunking it down in here, watching everybody else do something for God. You want to be used? Pray. Get as close to Jesus as you can because He's the rainmaker. He's the rainmaker. You get up close to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something. If you're dry and you're parched, you say, God, I want rain in my life. I want the moisture, the dew from heaven. I want it. Then value the slightest drop of rain that comes into your life. Watch for one drop. And boy, when you say, wow, look at that. Whoa. What? You know something? When an old farmer's waiting for rain for his crops, when he looks on the hood of his old dusty truck and one raindrop hits, boy, he'll roll the window down. He'll look out. He'll hold his hand out and say, wow, look at that. I think it's coming. I think there's a shower on the horizon. I think it's going to happen. Hey, you better be watching for the slightest raindrop of the blessing of God. Rejoice in the slightest moisture of God using you. Hey, when others make decisions at the altar that you wish you were making, go congratulate them. Amen. Walk up to them and say, God bless you. You know what you're saying? I noticed the rain in your life. I noticed something's going to grow because of the decision you made. Go up and congratulate them. Rejoice in the slightest moisture from God. Hey, make little decisions for Him that'll help you to become productive. Notice the rain in the lives of others. When it begins to rain in your life, use that rain wisely. Thank Him for the rain. Those of you that are being used of God, please do yourself a favor. Thank God for it. Hey, bus captain. Those of you that bring little boys and girls by the hundreds to Sunday school. Oh, what you're doing. Oh, what God is using you to do. Stop on Sunday night when you're driving home from church and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you used me today. Those of you that bring visitors to church, stop and thank God for the rain in your life. Those of you that are winning souls, stop and say, oh, God, I love the rain in my life. Don't stop the rain. You know, He's more apt to send rain to the people that notice the little drops. Those are the people who can get the big drops. If you've lost the rain, begin to return and get that rain back. You know something? There's all sorts of people in here. You used to have that refreshing rain. You used to, but you've lost it. Want it back. Want a productive vineyard. Get it back. Let me say this and I'm finished. If you begin to get rain, share it. Share the rain. I'll tell you, sharing rain is a lot of fun. The kids in our home have all moved out, except for Pup-Tick. That's my wife's dog. And I mean my wife's dog. I try to help out with Pupcake every once in a while. It wasn't long ago I decided I'd help Pupcake take a bath. Now it was Pupcake that's supposed to take the bath, not me. Well, I got that shower head down. We got one of those, you know, portable shower heads where you can unclip it and walk around, spray things in the bathroom down if you want to, if you're a stupid kid that's going to get grounded for 2 weeks for doing it like this happened before. But I had one of those shower heads with a little cord on it, and Pupcake would put her in the shower, and boy, I was raining on Pupcake. Let me tell you what happened. Finally, it's time for Pupcake to get out of the shower. She'd done sung her last song in the shower, done shampooed her, conditioned her, and everything. So I pulled her out. She's dripping wet. You know what that dog did? Then I got my shower. You know something? Pupcake shared the rain. And you know something? In your life, when you begin to have the showers of blessing, just walk around doing this. Just spread it out. Just spread it out. Hey, you have a good day on your bus route, not in a vain or a proud way. Why don't you just come into the church and say, it's a great day. Just spread it out. You're seeing people saved? Just be like Pupcake and shake some of that rain off on everybody else. God bless you financially. Shake it around a little bit. Boy, God's done something for you. God's began to change your life. Shake it around a little bit. Take that rain. Take the rain of the blessing of God and shake it around. Hey, some of you that have had the rain of God on your life in the past, get it back and start shaking it around. You know something? The fire of God in a church like this, you can't. It's not taught. It's caught.
Yeah.
It's not taught. You can teach all you want on the things of God. It's caught. And there's a bunch of you. You had it in the past and you've let it die down. Get it back and start shaking it around. And listen, the power of God's contagious. It's contagious. You get around somebody with it, you say, I want that. I'd like to have some of that. Now, some of you got things none of us want. Preached a sermon last night to the nursery workers' banquet. Called it the devil's diaper bag. Had a diaper bag full of the things that the devil would use to corrupt our nurseries. One of the things in it was a tube of Desitin. And I said, we're supposed to be healers of rash, not causers of it. Some of you are rash causers. You make it hard on everybody else when they sit down because you just rub them raw the way you behave. Should not be that way. Well, we ought to get the blessing of God and get the rain in our life, and you begin to shake it. You know something? Are you getting wet? But it's not because of you. You getting wet? Because God's raining on somebody else? Are you enjoying the rain of another? Hey, employee, let me ask you a question. You enjoy your paycheck? Is it the rain of another that's helping to produce it? You say, well, Brother Owens, around here, there's just no food for my soul. No, my friend, I say in your case, there's no soul for the food that we provide. Rain, no rain. Oh, there shall be showers of blessing. Let's absorb that rain. Let's not run from it. Want it. Want to be productive. And just say, I want to be fruitful. I want to sprout. I want to be green. I want to be full. I want to bloom. And I want to be productive. I don't want to be an old, dried tree just planted down in the vineyard at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I want the rain and the fresh, refreshing rain of God on my life. And when you have it, you'll be fruitful. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ, I advise you that you trust Him this evening. You come to this altar and we'll show you how. There are people here you need to desire that God use you in your life. There are people in the balcony. There are people on the lower floor. You need to desire that God use you in your life. Some of you used to have that moisture. You used to have that rain in your life. It's not there anymore. Maybe you need to come to this altar tonight and say, Lord, I want the rain back. Somebody here tonight needs to begin to beg God that God would use them and that you pray until the rain begins. You know who you are. You know what you need to do. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes.